escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome to the LWIM podcast, the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, and you'll hear all of the noise in the background. Well, we are broadcasting directly after our Wednesday night youth service, so thank you for joining us, and this is your host Gio, youth pastor of LWIM, and with me, Sebastian, also known as Constitution Man, affably, right? How are you, Sebastian? Say hello to the listeners.
Hello. honored to be here.
Excellent. All right, Sebastian, let's talk a little bit about church matters, shall we?
Yeah.
I know you're a well-educated, well-rounded young man, and let's engage in this because I was reading an article not too long ago about top 10 things that churches won't give up. So I want you to provide myself and the listening audience with your opinions about what I'm going to read from this particular article. All right. So it says top 10 things churches won't give up. When it comes to holding on to traditions, there are 10 things church congregations fiercely defend as unalterable as the scripture at times. Now, after researching extra biblical customs carried out in churches over the past few years, Lifeway Christian Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention president and CEO Dr. Tom Rayner found that certain traditions, neither inherently good nor bad, have ingrained themselves into church culture for better or for worse. Some of the following traditions on the list have been found to have value, while some continue to be more of a distraction and cause, someone's dying in the background, and cause divisiveness within the church. But Rayner remains that it all depends on how members at any given church treat the customs. Now, here's the list, okay? Let's go one by one. Worship and music style. Even though God loves all kinds of worship, this isn't so for many congregants, according to this report, many of whom leave churches solely because of the style of worship during service. Rayner said in his column in the Christian Post, quote, though I have noted elsewhere that this issue is not as pervasive as it once was, it still is number one. What does this tell you? What are your opinions?
Well, I think that music should be given to worship. It should be music that, there's some churches that are like singing heavy metal in churches and all that type of stuff and rap, you know. It's okay, but when you're worshiping God, you should worship Him, you know, with good things, you know what I mean? Like music. So I think that the churches should stay the way they are in worshiping the music, just to worship God with all their hearts. They should worship Him accordingly with respect and dignity, you know what I mean?
So when you say respect and dignity, could you provide some further examples, maybe give us maybe explain further your position.
I think that the church should stay in the position that when we sing and worship, we should worship, because I'm a very old-fashioned person, you know, even for a teenager, I'm a very old-fashioned person. I think the church should stay in worship as, I don't know how to say this in words, that's like to worship in a way that, like, you know, instead of all that and all the heavy metal and rap and all that stuff.
Right, the music can be a distraction at times.
Yeah.
Right.
You should worship, you know, with actual meaning, with songs that have meaning in the word.
In essence, what you're saying is that the style of music does matter up until an extent.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a distraction from the main element, which is to worship
God.
Adorate God, to be in His presence. To praise.
To give Him glory.
To give Him glory. So long as the music is not a distraction. But Sebastian, a lot of people believe, for example, if they listen to heavy rocking guitars, that's a distraction for them. Doesn't this also speak to us about the diverse amount of tastes that people enjoy, and that church shouldn't have to be a one-size-fits-all situation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Doctrinally, I'm not saying that we should depart from sound doctrine. I'm saying that at things as it pertains to the worship, for example.
You shouldn't be as conservative. I think, exactly.
I don't know. For me, there seems to be this, and I don't know if you see it this way or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's really more of a subjective taste more than anything else. So long as I think the lyrics are Christ-centered and the band or the worship leader, whatever the case may be, is leading you into God's presence before the sermon or whatever the case may be, that's not a problem. The style is not necessarily an issue, so long as it is not distracting. It's not a show, in other words, right?
It's more of as long as you're giving glory to God, what he deserves, he deserves the glory. As long as you give him the glory that he deserves, it's fine.
Now, the other question I have for you is, so many people would say, well, in heavy metal, people are praising and worshiping God. Who are you to say that they're not worshiping God in their own way? You know, that's very subjective. Everybody has their own relativistic interpretation about these things, right?
Well, honestly, this is my opinion towards heavy metal. I've listened to some of the songs of heavy metal. I don't know if people can listen to this. I have a taste, you know. It's just like, to me, heavy metal, and not to offend anyone whoever likes heavy metal, but to me, when I listen to heavy metal, all I hear is, like, I can imagine in my head, like, someone walking into a room with an assault rifle or machine gun with a bunch of cats and dogs and just spraying them with them, like, that's all I hear.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I listen to the lyrics of some heavy metal songs, and I'm like, what? This is blasphemy towards the Lord, and this is evil. So you shouldn't mix things that are evil with things that are good. Mm. You know, heavy metal is worship. It's like it's Satan worship music. That's the original intent.
I think I'll take it a step further. Satan counterfeits what God creates. Mm-hmm. Satan cannot create music.
No.
Evil can't do that, but it has to take what is genuine, counterfeit it, repackage it, and sell it to people as original. I'll give you an example. Everybody knows that we have such a thing called gospel music.
Oh, right? Yeah, gospel rock.
But what was the offshoot of that if you look at musical history? R&B was an offshoot of that. There's a lot of music nowadays that it has that church influence, you know, the organs and that fast-paced, linear feel to it. And you know that these people stole that from...
Because Satan perverts things that are supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Man always has that thing. Yeah. Same thing with drugs. Some drugs are meant to heal the body.
Exactly.
Like marijuana is meant to heal the body, not for you to get high and smoke. But man has a way to pervert these things and use them for evil.
Right.
Evil.
That's a great point. All right, let's move on to the second in the top 10 list of churches, things churches won't give up. Order of worship service. It says here, a large number of congregants have commented over recent years that the traditional sequence of their worship services must follow a specific order. If worship, announcements, communion, the offering, and the message are switched around in an unorthodox manner, complaints more often come rushing in. It seems like people love their routine, right?
Yeah.
Special ceremonies such as baptism, special prayer offerings, and baby dedications are often accommodated without too much resistance, but changes in the Sunday church lineup is frequently met with uneasiness and even contempt. Rainer has witnessed that this issue has become to such a point of contention within churches that he just some believe it should be added to the Ten Commandments. Quote, thou shalt not change any items in the order of the worship service, end quote. He jokes. Isn't this really superficial in your view? It is in my view, because I think there needs to be some level of spontaneity in things. I understand God is immutable. He doesn't change. Mm-hmm. But there also has to be space for maybe in this particular day or service, you know, the Lord is leading us to, instead of maybe preach a sermon or maybe play fast music, we're just going to play soft music, you know, slower music, and worship him in that way, because that's what he desires.
That's what we call religiousness. When you follow a religion, you're not really having a relationship with Christ. I believe that when you're in a church setting, I believe that there should be order to some extent. Because remember, God is a God of order. You know,
right.
God is a God of order. So you have to respect him in his church. But some things that are super religious, those things, you can't have a single order every single Sunday, because that's just religiousness.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's a third one. Times of worship service. Setting one's alarm clock for work on the weekdays has become as ingrained in many churchgoers' routines as getting up on Sunday mornings for service at a particular time. Diversion from this set schedule can cause disharmony within congregations who often schedule their Sundays around worship service. Is it just me, or am I hearing that we have to accommodate everything to the people?
I know.
Have you noticed that? It's not about accommodating oneself to God. Exactly. It's not accommodating
what they
yourself.
Want. It's what's more convenient to them. That's why most people follow these radical churches that are about prosperity, because it's more convenient to them, because when churches tell them the truth, they don't like it, so they stray from that truth. So from this topic, I believe that Sunday was actually in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. After Jesus came and died on the cross, we didn't need to follow that covenant anymore on Sunday.
Right.
We still go on Sunday because it's tradition that we create. We still can stone, but we can worship God at any time in our house, you know, when our car. We can worship God any time. There is no more on the Sabbath day. That was the old covenant. That's when the Holy Spirit was not in our hearts. Right. That was different.
So we've come to an agreement here, and I think a very important one that I think society has become too entitled.
Yes.
Everything has to be accommodated to my busy schedule, even though I've always stated that that's sort of a farce because certain persons, when they get home, all they do is watch television.
Oh, yeah, novela.
You know? It's not as busy as some people might think. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to belittle certain persons' schedules. But the truth of the matter is that you can always make time.
Yeah.
One, you know, God made 24 hours in the day. And there's more than enough time within that schedule.
Of course.
In order to
pray
do
at
the
night.
Things. Exactly. We can do all these things in its proper schedule. So I think we're beginning to see a trend in this list that really speaks about more of the pride of the congregants. It has to, especially in the Western world, because you don't, I don't know, but I don't see this much, for example, in the Middle East,
where
Christians are being persecuted. They don't have cars. Many of these people, they
worship when they can.
Miles wherever they can underground, and they're happy to congregate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in the Western world, everything has to be accommodated. And some, even with air-conditioned cars, we don't have to walk to church and everything. Sometimes we say, we're not going to church because I don't feel like it today.
Well, it's true.
You know, I think that's a good point. All right, number four. This is an important one. Role of the pastor. Even though the duties of pastors vary widely based upon specific congregations' needs, many come to believe that there is a set of standards by which all pastors must abide, which is biblical, but listen to what it says. Or they are not simply doing their job. Quote, the pastor is to be omnipresent and omniscient. Rainer muses, many church members have clear expectations of what their pastor should do. Isn't this a farce when congregants believe my pastor has to be present and even do what I'm supposed to be doing for myself?
I believe that the pastor is to guide the sheep. They're shepherds for the sheep. But you know what I mean? That you can't have specific guidelines for a pastor because the pastor is just there to guide you, to get to teach you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think what
so the question is, if a pastor's not available, I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in ministry. I've been doing this for many years. Sometimes you'll see congregants get angry.
Oh, no.
Pastor didn't pick up my phone call. That makes him a bad person. Bad pastor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Isn't that speaking to the level of immaturity of many congregants?
No, I think that's just what they think. They think with people today that they want what they want when they want.
You make a great point. It's a convenience generation. Mm-hmm. I want it yesterday, and I want it
now.
I want it now, and I want it in the way that I want it. I can't wait for it.
If I don't get it now, I'm going to have a temper tantrum. I'm gonna cry in the room, I'm gonna bang on the wall. But there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if you can't get what the problem with the people today in society, that they want what they want, but people don't know that they're not always going to get what they want. That's not the way life works. You know? Hey, my dad always tells me that. He's like, I want a Ferrari, but I don't get it.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people want things. I want a watch. I want a nice watch. Look at the watch I have. It's a hard watch. Look at this watch. It's scratched all over. I can get another watch. I don't have the money.
Yes.
But I know I'm not going to always get what I want. Guess
can
why?
That ideology somehow in many persons' minds change God's nature? What do I mean by this? It's not that his nature is alterable. What I'm saying is that now they have an erroneous view of God because they come to believe God has to fulfill, like a genie, every single one of my desires and wishes.
They think it's a light switch. Turn them on and off, turn them on and off, turn them on, whenever you want. No. God does what he believes is best for you in the proper time. Mm. God has his own time. It could take forever, but God's going to do his use, his purpose in you. You just need to wait.
All right, good point. Number five, committee structure. Regardless of whether or not they are needed, church boards or other leadership groups within congregations are considered by many as being an inseparable aspect of many churches. For some, doing away with these can be considered next to sacrilege, even if they cease to serve a critical purpose in the church. Quote, many congregations continue committee structures long after their usefulness has waned, Rainer attests. What do you believe about committees and boards in churches?
Well, I believe that something, if you don't need them, why you have them there? You know what I mean? Why stick to traditions if you're not going to need it anymore? It's like the Pharisees from Jesus. They stuck to old traditions, but they didn't really have a relationship with Christ, with God. You know what I mean? So if you don't really need a committee, then why are you going to have it there? You know, it's just going to be sitting there. You know what I mean? What are they going to do?
Do you think, because I've seen this happen behind the scenes on many occasions, do you think that sometimes rule by committee can be an impediment For example, the pastor might want to bring a very important message, something that is sorely needed. But because the committee members are biased, they tell the pastor no, or we'll fire you. What do you think about that?
I think that it's kind of unfair because the pastor's the one leading the sheep. And the thing is that most of these community people are probably the congregation themselves, and they're biased, and they don't want to learn the truth. They don't want people to preach the truth to the other people, and that's why they don't want it there. That's why I think committees, I don't think they're much use to the church, because if you're going to stop someone from preaching the truth, then what's the purpose of going to church in the first place?
Exactly.
Why should you go to church?
The other thing about this is you'll have people that will comment and they will rebuff by stating the following. Well, what about the pastor? He can abuse church finances, for example, or he can abuse his authority. To which I answer, well, if he does that and you are a biblical or rather a Christian that is based on the Bible, just don't congregate it anymore. Yeah. No one's putting a gun to your head to say you have
don't
to
go
congregate
to
there.
Go to another church.
Exactly.
No, go to another church. A lot of churches here in the United States. There's a bunch of churches you can pick to.
Exactly. I think that also speaks to the fact that we shouldn't undermine the very freedom that we have in this country.
No.
To select, we have many, and you look for one that is founded in biblical principles.
But I think the thing is that people, they're stuck in a church, and they don't want to go look for another church. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to go look for another church because I have more important things to do in my life. I don't want to. I'm good in this church. Might as well stay in this church. That's the thing. Laziness is a big problem in this country.
Absolutely. All right, number six, specific ministries and programs. Some church ministries, such as missions to certain countries or inner city outreaches, have become trademarks of different congregations. Oftentimes, however, needs and finances change over time, calling for new, revised, or dropped programs. Such alterations can result in highly contentious exchanges that can be detrimental to a healthy church, where the focus should always remain on honoring God and meeting needs. So this is what Rainer says, quote, "The healthy church constantly evaluates the effectiveness of its ministries and programs. That's good stewardship. Other churches continue their ministries and programs because that's the way they've always done it," end quote. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I think that these ministries, these missionaries, right, should be done if you can't do it. If you had the money, if God blessed you with the money, go on ahead and do it. And if you feel like you need to do it in the heart, you want to help people, you really want to help people go to God, you really want to help people with the struggles, then you go on ahead and do it. But if you want to do it because of tradition, then that's not really love. That's not really a passion to help other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that if you want to go ahead and help other people, ministers, you have the money and God bless you with it, and you have that in your heart to help other people, then you should do it.
I think you bring up an interesting point, because resources, look, money sometimes is the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's curious because congregants, they tend to sometimes cheat on their finances, income tax returns and whatnot. And it's true, you would think that the church would try to do everything the right way, and that's the way it should be.
And God said to obey the law, on the earth. God said he put the authority on the earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obey the authority.
I think it's important for church to be, and even Christians also, we can't excuse ourselves for saying, well, the church has to be one way, and I react, or rather, I act in another way. That's hypocritical.
Yeah, it is.
But having said that, I think resources, financial resources have to come into the conversation when you're speaking about outreach, because there are certain churches, for example, that are so small that they don't have the staff, they don't have the resources to reach out to certain ministries like other bigger ministries do. For example, there are bigger churches that have transportation.
The Voice of Marty's.
Exactly. There are bigger ministries, for example, that have transportation. There are smaller churches that can't afford that because they can't afford the gasoline or the cars or the insurance on those cars. There's a lot of money to be expended.
Exactly. There's a lot of money.
Sometimes you see that congregants are always demanding these things from churches.
But where are you going to get it from? You can't grow
money
from trees.
Exactly.
If it was that easy, I'd plant a penny on the soil and get a money tree.
Let me know if you find out how to do that.
Oh, I'll find it.
We'll make millions of dollars
and might bring hyperinflation, but what the hell?
Number seven, location of church facility. This is a big one. Location, 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 right? This is a common mantra in the business world. But for the church body, which is not a building, but the group of believers themselves, where the worship center is placed should not be an end-all debate. That is the determining factor of one's membership. Quote, a church relocation can be an issue of fierce debate, even contention in many congregations, end quote, Rainer contends. Once again, location, 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 but there are very many churches, but I think this all comes down to doctrine, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not about, I've heard many Christians, you said it. I mean, look, you're a personal example. You live more than 20 miles away from
LWIM.
Yeah. You live in Homestead, we're in Miami. It's a long drive for you. But what happens? You say, this is where I'm being fed solidly. I'm not trying to sound haughty, but you say, this is where we're being fed in a solid manner. So exactly. So you go to the extent you go to because you understand that the truth is important to you and you want to listen to it. So, but many other, you know, many other Christians don't think this way.
No.
They think, I'll go to the church that's nearest to me. And since it's nearest to me.
They want what's convenient to them. They're too late. The thing is laziness, convenience. That's the thing of today's society. And the thing is that also there's people that say, oh, the church has to be in a nice big building with air conditioner. And church, when you worship God, you can worship God in, outside in a fire. In a campfire, you can worship God. There's people in other countries that worship God like in a forest
in ruins.
Somewhere.
Sometimes in ruins, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And it's not because it's not of a building. You need to worship God in a building. You can just worship God outside as long as you were with other people. And you have the same conviction that you want to believe and you want to learn about God. That's a church, not a building with air conditioning. You know what I mean? God doesn't care if you live in a building with air conditioning. It's all the same.
So the creature comforts have made us entitled.
Yes.
They've made us entitled.
Whatever is convenient.
They've created us as spoiled brats.
Yeah. We're basically spoiled brats. It's this generation.
Great point. Number 8, use of specific rooms. This is a weird one. Is children's church still going to remain next to the sanctuary? Shouldn't the men's Bible study remain where it's been in the last 15 years? These types of loaded questions can sometimes become the deciding factor of whether some church members stick to the church. That's amazing. Needs change, and so do available spaces within a church. Understanding and flexibility are as important inside the church as they are within the Christian home. Quote, some of the more frequently named rooms after the worship center, the pastor, I'm sorry, are the worship center, the parlor, the gym, and the kitchen fellowship hall. End quote. So now we're
talking about rooms.
Now we're naming specific rooms, specific things. Otherwise, congregants don't feel as if they can compartmentalize properly.
Wow.
But my point is incredible. This is just a room.
Just a room.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
To your point, you can worship God in this room, outside,
anywhere.
In your car.
Anywhere.
Everything's being compartmentalized.
That's because it's more convenient for them. I don't know. People today are, I don't know, they have something in their brains, you know what I mean? And then they usually use 1% of their brains nowadays.
But Sebastian, you were saying something earlier. If you take me out of my routine, I become, I throw a hissy fit.
People don't like change. Honestly, I myself go through the same problem. I think everyone goes through that.
Absolutely.
See, in my school, I had like 10 teachers fired in my school. I had language arts. And I don't like my little language arts teacher. I really dislike my little language arts teacher, but it's change. And that's something we get to deal with. People don't like change. I've moved through many houses in my past, from New Jersey here to Florida. And I moved a lot. And I don't like change. I had to move from Pembroke Pines, from Weston to Pembroke Pines to here, and I don't like moving, but that's something you have to do.
Sometimes we have to, I think it's an essential point here you're making. Sometimes change is good.
Yeah.
Sometimes even though there's a risk involved, change is a good thing. Sometimes, many times change isn't beneficial. I mean, we think Barack Obama, for example, we're going to fundamentally transform America. Exactly. You know, a change that you can believe in, but wait a minute, what kind of change are we speaking about?
Yeah.
But for example, this, I think this is infantile.
No, wow. I think this is that's not necessary. That's not something that's much important. You know, what people should be focusing on instead of tradition is the gospel. What Jesus said, those things, I'm on salvation. They should be focusing on that, not on the rooms you're going to preach in. That's not important. That's not relevant to the gospel.
Absolutely. All right, we're reaching the end of the list here. Number 9, business meetings. Decisions about how a church is run are an important part of making sure all parts of the church body are well and functioning. As times in the church staff change, the structure of these meetings can often remain the same out of deference to long-established traditions. Here we go again. Traditions. Always seems to be, this is the way we used to do things. We're no longer doing them this way anymore, so therefore I'm angry. Look, I have to say, I think traditions are important. They are the glue of society. They are the glue of civilized
culture,
society. Absolutely. There are certain things that have to be observed. But it doesn't mean that if something is altered slightly and that's not going to be detrimental to values, morality, and ethics, why are we fearful of that?
Exactly.
For example, I was reading an article the other day, Sebastian, that says that there are still many pastors that don't use computers. I'm talking about they're still using typewriters and they're still using, you know, antiquated means to get in touch. I'm not saying that, you know, there are benefits to that, but really you have the convenience of the modern personal computer and they're not using it. I don't understand it.
And the thing is that's better, that you can reach more people with these technologies. It's like, you know, it's the same thing with these gymnasts. Oh, you shouldn't drive cars anymore. Well, how am I going to get to work? How am I going to get here and there and there? I can't just walk
horse and buggy.
There. Yeah, yeah. I can't just walk there. You know what I mean?
So, I don't know.
People, you know, the thing is to people today that they, this is like the Pharisees. They stick to traditions because it makes me feel like it's better, not like I'm doing something better. You know what I mean?
You bring up the Pharisees. I'd like to point something out. Isn't it possible that these traditions become more important than God? Just like the temple became more important than God.
God, exactly.
The building
became more important than to worship God and give glory to Him.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Hmm. And that's why the Israelites had so many problems with all the exile, because they were very stubborn people. That's why they went through, you know, all they went through, because, you know, they were so much in tradition, and guess what? After a while, they got bored of tradition, and they went to worship some other crazy god that they made out of gold or whatever, and then God's like, hey, you want this to me? I gave you a chance already. I'm going to send the Babylonians. They're going to attack you, and then all the other people, the Romans, all those people, yeah, they're going to attack you, and they're going to be in exile for a long time.
Doesn't this speak to the fact that Christians are ignorant of biblical history?
Oh, because yes.
Because if they were to study it, hey, Israel went through this, let me use this as a lesson, like Paul says, they ignore it, and therefore they commit the same errors of the past.
No, and if they didn't ignore, there wouldn't be as many kids coming out of school atheists if they didn't ignore that fact, because then parents would teach their children more about the Bible, and then people in ignorance, remember, the Bible says that the land of God perishes due to ignorance. If you're ignorant, you're going to perish, because people can easily trick you. You are gullible. You are vulnerable to people. That's why you see in history, this is why history is so important. This is why I love history. If you look back in history, you know how many dictators they were during history, how many monarchs, and the people, mostly because of ignorance, that's why they fell.
Great point. All right, number 10, the finale. Staff ministry descriptions. Same title, different year, different person. God's word never changes, but the faces of a church do over the years. Even though concessions must never be given regarding the scriptures, roles within the church often need to change as demographics and church needs evolve. Such changes should not be regarded as if one is altering the Bible. Quote, some churches insist on having the same staff positions with the same titles, with the same ministry descriptions, even though the needs in the congregations may have changed dramatically, unquote, Rainer argues. Again, is it the superficial titles and positions?
This is not a business. This is the Church of God. You know what I mean? This is the Church of God.
I think we've done a good thing by delving into the list. And I think the overarching narrative here is Western Christians have become so unspoiled that now they come to misinterpret God's nature.
Oh, yeah.
They come to impose this selfish and give me everything now attitude. They reflect that on God.
Yes.
And then they say, God is this way, instead of going to the scriptures and actually finding out what he's like. Yeah. And therefore they impose this generation of conveniences onto God. They reflect that on him and they say, this is the way that God is. I've created God in my image and likeness, and now he has to provide everything for me within the modern conveniences.
And that's wrong, because God is not a light switch. He is God. He's God Almighty. You can't control God. God is God Almighty. You're here because of his mercy. You know what I mean? God can one day, just, if he wanted to, just take away your oxygen and you would not breathe anymore.
Yeah,
so why are you forcing God to do these things for you if God's having mercy on you for letting you live another day?
Yeah, great point.
See, people are ungrateful, very ungrateful.
Sebastian, I thank you so much for joining us, sir, on the LWYM podcast, Absolute Truth, Absolutely. We have been broadcasting from our Wednesday night youth meetings, and we invite every single one of our listeners to visit us. We're located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. You can download this podcast on our website, lwym.org, and we have many other content, goodies, as we like to say, on that website, lwym.org. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us, info@lwym.org. For Sebastian, this has been Gio. We are signing off. Until the next time that we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you. God bless.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.